Hi there, how's it going? Today is the 28th of December. And yeah, I thought I'd make a podcast because I've been alerted by my subscribers on YouTube channel who still keep in touch via Messenger and others that another couple of YouTubers again have been making YouTube videos about my YouTube videos. Now, these particular YouTubers are far left extremists, and both from Christchurch in New Zealand, and they're absolutely infatuated with me for some bizarre reason, and the usual name calling of far right, neo-Nazi and the white supremacists is forever levelled at me and my subscribers. And recently one of them doxed me, telling people, not exactly my address, but telling people the small town where I was living in New Zealand. It's just, you know, it's just the obsession they've got with me, trying to shut me down. And the other fella, Professor Burris, who's a Welshman living in New Zealand, Welsh nationalist, also a self-confessed socialist, I would say communist, and he's making threats against me now, and he's basically telling his followers to up the ante and be more proactive rather than just sitting around a table and talking about doing things they shouldn't be doing, and basically get out there and do something to me. You know, but the thing is, he's on the left and I'm on the right. So being on the left, he will be protected. And, you know, the media will protect him, and the state will protect him, because he's, well, basically on their side. And me being on the right, being a Trump supporter, a Boris supporter, a Brexit supporter, an anti-globalisation supporter, someone who's anti-mass migration, I'm, well, basically, out on a limb here, because the government hate people like me, and they hate people like me having a platform, so they'll do anything to shut me down. And like I've said, I've already been shut down on YouTube, and I've just set myself up on Twitter for the first time just yesterday, and I've got this podcast that I'm doing right now. But I've got, I think, 65 people have listened to my podcast, and I need it to grow, because I want to get the word out there about what's happening in the world. And, you know, the right of centre, or two, three steps to the right of centre, need to grow. Populism needs to grow. And I believe in this, and I'm quite open about this on my YouTube channel. And I think Donald Trump's right in what he says about, you know, he's a nationalist and patriot, and I believe in that, because that's exactly what everybody should be. They should be nationalists and patriots about their own country. It seems that the only people who are not allowed to be nationalists and patriots now are basically white Europeans. But, you know, no one says anything about China and Japan and South Korea wanting to keep their countries the way they are, even though they don't let in mass migration. They don't buy into it at all. But these far left don't criticise them, do they? You know, you just got to be, basically, if you're a white nation, you have to let the world, basically the third world, into your country and destroy your culture. And if you don't, and if you don't want to destroy your own culture, then you're a racist. So they want you to vote for basically cultural genocide. I'm not saying genocide, but definitely cultural genocide. And if you let in the third world into your nation, then you will become the third world. And it's just insanity. I think it's just absolutely, it's insane. Historians will look upon what's happening today, and they'll collectively scratch their heads of what on earth were these Western leaders thinking at the time? Because it seems to me like Western leaders are just, they just seem to capitulate all the time, and they're the ones, you know, that are in positions of power that can change things, but yet they never seem to be quite in touch with the man in the street. Because basically they make decisions that don't really affect them. The decisions that they make, especially about migration and letting in the third world to their nations, doesn't affect them because they don't have to look at it. They don't have to live with it. They live with the consequences of their actions. And that's why they don't mind doing it. And it's all about virtue signalling. They signal their virtue. They're not really virtuous, these people. They don't give a shit, really. They don't give a shit about their country, their countrymen. They don't give a shit about their nations. They want to look virtuous, and they are desperate to avoid being called racist or xenophobic or Islamophobic or I don't know, homophobic or whatever. They are desperate not to be called anything by the left, because the left love to pick up on anything politicians do and brand them as something. You know, why don't politicians just ignore these far-left, hyper-offended lunatics? Because that's what they are. They're hyper-offended lunatics who hate themselves. They're professionals at being offended on behalf of others. And they're mostly white and educated. They're educated, but they're stupid. If that makes sense. Well, it makes sense to me anyway. You know, I haven't been to university. I'm not a pretender. But I can see what's happening. But it seems to me like people who have been to university, got their degrees, they're always the last one to see it. The last ones to see it. How did that happen? Did they go to university to learn to be more stupid? It seems to me like they did. I'm outside at a minute, and it's, what time is it? I'll just take a look at my watch. It's 26 minutes past 7 at night here in Christchurch. And, it's overcast. It's nice, quite warmish. I've got a jacket on, as it happens. So it's, you wouldn't die of hypothermia, but you wouldn't be walking around in your underpants either. But, the world's mad. The world's upside down, isn't it? Where they're, you know, telling the truth now is, I don't know, it's committing an act of violence. You can't tell the truth anymore. We live in a world of universal deceit where telling the truth has become a revolutionary act. I'm not sure who said that. I think it was George Orwell. Well, that's where we are. We live in the age of absolute stupid. Just look at these Democrats in the United States, the way they're treating Donald Trump. They want to impeach him. He's not impeached yet because Nancy Pelosi, the scarecrow, has got to hand over the articles of impeachment to the Senate. But it's not been done yet, so why hasn't she done it? If they're so desperate to impeach this threat to national security, i.e. the President of the United States, Donald Trump, why haven't they handed over the articles of impeachment to the Senate? Because they've got no intention of doing it at all. They did it just before Christmas, so they have a break up for Christmas and prolong this charade. It's garbage. These people are maniacs. They care nothing for the United States. Nancy Pelosi actually says she says prayers for the president. She prays for him every day, she says. She says it. She said it many times in the past week or so. I call that bullshit. That's absolute bullshit. I think she hates the President of the United States. I think the vast majority of Democrats hate the President of the United States. They hate Donald Trump personally. Hate him. And there's nothing they'd love to see more than him fall. Most of the world's media are the same. They buy into this garbage as well. Because most of the world's media are globalist owned. And the President of the United States is not exactly a pro-globalist. He's a nationalist and he's a patriot. That's what he said. And he puts America first. As every leader of any nation should do. So what do all these leaders of other nations do around the world? They want him... They want him down. They want to bring him down. And that's what they do. These people are disgusting. Disgusting people. They're liars and they're cheats. But how is it going to end? How is it all going to pan out? There is no right and left anymore, I don't think. There is no conservatives and Labour, Republican and Democrat. Capitalists and communists. I think the two sides now in the world are globalist and nationalist. That's what two sides you've got. The ones who are pro mass migration and the ones who are anti mass migration. Pro mass migration really do believe that the third world should come to their nations and we should all pay. And they're ashamed of being normally white European. And they think we should pay for the sins of our fathers. They think we all should pay for that. Even though we didn't commit any crimes, people that are alive today. And yet, the nationalists and the patriots, they don't want to pay for it. They're not ashamed of being what they are. They're not ashamed of their past. They're not ashamed of their histories. They haven't been indoctrinated in Marxist universities where anything or anybody but white Europeans are virtuous. And white Europeans, basically, whether you're British, French, Canadian, American, Australian, New Zealander, if you've got an opinion, you're white, you're basically, your opinion is worthless. But if you're brown, black, Muslim, especially Muslim, now, the way the world is, you are at the top of the tree of virtue. Your voice carries. Because no matter what happens, the BBC will always be on your side. Sky News will always... When I say Sky News, I mean Sky News in Britain. I wouldn't say Sky News in Australia because they seem to be the polar opposite of the Sky News in Britain. But you know, MSNBC and all these disgusting outlets, CNN, all pro-anything Islamic. They will always side with Islam. If you just take a look at what's happening in India... Now there's all kinds of protests. Hindus are protesting against Muslims. Muslims are protesting against Hindus. And there's going to be trouble there. But what's the Western media doing? They're portraying the Muslims as victims again. Can't they not see the common denominator is Islam in every kind of situation around the world now? What's happened in New Zealand? Since the 15th of March. Muslims are victims all the time. Every night on our news in New Zealand is Muslims are victims. Muslims are victims all the time. And anyone who doesn't say or agree with that is a far-right white supremacist. Just going back to these two far-left YouTubers in Christchurch. They're actually lumping me in across the Rubicon, this channel, my channel, me, myself, they're lumping me in and telling people or indicating on their channels that I am somehow connected to the Christchurch mosque shooting. This is what they are doing. This is how disgusting these left wingers are. They are absolutely vile. And this is allowed. They would be allowed to do that. But if I said the same about them, I'd probably get arrested. It's just, honestly, what is going on in the world? What is going on? It's turned on its head. I hope you can hear this because it's still a bit windy out here. I found a little alcove here just out the wind in the park. But it's nice because I don't have to show my face and I can talk a little bit easier. No one about tonight. Only me and a few rabbits running around. One or two hares. But it's nice, you know, just talking into the phone, expressing my thoughts. But I'm still a little bit pissed off that I've been kicked off YouTube. But YouTube, what's YouTube going to become? Now, just videos of cats stuck up trees? You know, is that what it's going to become now? They've become anti-free speech. I think YouTube are fully bought in now to bringing Donald Trump down. They're fully bought in to globalisation. YouTube are. And they want to shut down all right-of-centre speakers. Because they know right-of-centre speakers got Donald Trump elected. Right-of-centre speakers got Brexit. Right-of-centre speakers stopped Jeremy Corbyn getting power. And that's what's happening. And they have to stop it. And it's like in New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern is shutting down right-of-centre speakers and calling them haters because she wants to stop the proliferation of truth in New Zealand so she can win the next election, which is next year. So she wants to stop people who are influencing other people, like myself, like this channel, Across the Rubicon. Because people listen to this and they vote accordingly. And she wants to stop that. So what kind of freedom is it? She wants to end freedom of speech. Already she's working on. And she's being pressured by the Islamic community in New Zealand, which is very, very tiny, to stop any criticism of Islam. And she's working on this. She's working on making it a crime to criticise Islam, making it an act of hate. That is what she is doing to this country. She's disarming New Zealanders. She's taking the guns off New Zealand. Hunting guns, because this man, Brenton Tarrant, walked into the mosque on the 15th of March and did what he did. He was an Australian. He came here ad hoc to do what he did. He trained for that. He had, as far as we know, as far as I know, he had no connections to any so-called far-right movement in New Zealand. He was a complete lone wolf, as far as I know. And she's capitalised on that event to disarm New Zealand. She's doing that on behalf of the United Nations. I am absolutely convinced. She's not working for this country, she's working for the United Nations. And this country is just a test case. And I think the Ummah, which is basically the Muslim world around the world, have seen New Zealand as a great opportunity in the South Pacific. Because they've seen how weak our governments are, how weak our media and police are in New Zealand. And they have thought to themselves, right, New Zealand is where we're going because it looks like a pushover. And that's what they're doing. New Zealand is ripe for the takeover. 5 million people it's got here. Population of what? Birmingham, Liverpool and Manchester together. And the Islamic world see it as a great opportunity to be the first Islamic country, the first Western nation to completely fall to Islam. And the enablers are Jacinda Ardern, Winston Peters, the mainstream media in this country who are honestly, that they are pathetic. The journalists in this country are pathetic. Cowards. Politicians are cowards and liars. They lie to the public. And the journalists just dish out propaganda and brand anybody who's against Islam flooding into their countries. They brand them as far-right white supremacists. It's a disgusting lie. These people are honestly, what can you say about these journalists that do this? There's a journalist in New Zealand called Patrick Gower. Now, yeah, a year or so ago, he tried to do a hit job on, what's his name? Lauren Southern and Stefan Molyneux. And my God, was that a train wreck? An absolute train wreck of an interview he did. Look it up. Patrick Gower interview with Stefan Molyneux and Lauren Southern. Absolute dipstick of a man, Patrick Gower. He's not even a man. He wouldn't even let them answer. He asked them questions, and he wouldn't even let them answer the questions, and then accused them of not answering the questions. Absolute dipstick, because he used the word, "I'm not going to let you answer that because that's offensive. That's offensive," he says. What an absolute prick of a man. Pardon my French. But that is what he is, a little prick. And now you've got this new one now, this Jack Tame. He always puts his best cross face on. "I'm so cross with you." Another little weedy, woke, soy boy little shit. Honestly, these journalists are quite pathetic. They're not even men. They're male. They've got a penis, but they're not men at all. They're girly boys who hunt for offence. They want to be perpetually offended and call everybody a racist or far-right white supremacist. Patrick Gower did hit jobs on people who spoke about mass migration and the global compact on safe and orderly migration. He did hit jobs on people and called them far-right white supremacists. That's what he did. Got people to lose their jobs in New Zealand. One young man from Auckland, I think his name was Jesse, committed suicide over lies that were told about him being a far-right white supremacist. Now, I'm not sure the full details of that particular case, but he was slandered terribly by the media, and it affected his family and his... Anyway, I don't want to go in too much detail of that because I don't really know enough about it, but I know the media branded him as a far-right white supremacist, which is bloody... It was a fake, it was a lie. And the lad killed himself because of the slander by this media in New Zealand. I spoke with the fella, Colin his name is, who did the Turner Dern protest. I spoke to him just the other day, as it happens, on the phone. And what he was doing, he's a 63-year-old bricklayer from Christchurch, or just outside Christchurch. Now, he was doing a protest in Christchurch where he'd go into shops and, like Whitcoles, W.A. Smith, that'd be in the UK, and, you know, shops selling books and magazines, and any pictures he's seen of Jacinda Ardern on a magazine cover or in a book or wherever, he would pick the book up and put it back and he'd turn it round. And he went on Twitter and he encouraged other people to do the same. And he got about 200 people up and down New Zealand to go into the shops. And when they see pictures of Jacinda Ardern's face, they would pick up the magazine or the book or whatever, and they'd turn it round. So only the back of the book or the magazine would be seen. That was their little protest. No harm done, not causing any damage whatsoever. And what happened then? He was identified, and a New Zealand Herald journalist, I think his name was Fisher, something Fisher. And he got in touch with this Colin and told him that he wanted to print his name. Not only did he print his name, he told the whole country and the world where he was from, where he worked, what he did. He doxed him. This New Zealand Herald journalist doxed this bloke, Colin, who was having a legitimate protest against the Marxist Prime Minister we've got in New Zealand. And he was doxed for it. Now, Colin told me, just the day before yesterday, I think it was, the phone call, that he's had death threats from people for doing what he did. Do you think the police are going to go around and arrest anybody for threatening this 63-year-old bricklayer? Bloody well unlikely, I'd say. He didn't cause any damage to Colin. He made a point. He made a point that he didn't like the Prime Minister and what she was doing. She spends too much time in magazines and talking to world leaders, and she's not doing enough for this country. It's all about how she looks abroad. And that was basically his complaint. She's not doing what she should do. She's like acting like a supermodel. And he had his protest. He did his thing. He had his 15 minutes of fame. Went all around the world. And good on him, I say. Good on Colin. But the media here doxed him. What would happen if, you know, this is only recent. What would happen if Colin got attacked? A 60-year-old man, 63-year-old man. If he got attacked and seriously injured or even killed, would the media take responsibility? Would Jacinda take responsibility? She pays the media. They're all in her pay. They're just propagandists after all. Journalists aren't journalists. They don't look for stories. They just look for stories that are basically far right. They don't report stories that fit the narrative of what they think. It's just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. The world we live in, and most people don't even see it. That's what's so sickening. Most people have no idea it's happening. Well, they will at some stage, but it might then just be too late. But we'll have to see, wait and see. Boris Johnson is in power in the UK. See what happens there. Poor old Tommy Robinson, banned off YouTube, and many more banned off YouTube. I think he's on Telegram now. I might go on Telegram myself. But they're shutting us down. They're shutting anybody on the right down. Tommy Robinson. What's his crime? What exactly is Tommy Robinson's crime? Telling the truth about Islam? Telling the truth about Muslim rape gangs in the UK? Is that his crime? Oh no, we can't criticise Islam. You criticise Islam, not only will they want to kill you, cut your head off, but the government will come after you as well. And they'll put you in prison for criticising Islam. They'll find anything on you to put you in jail. This is the state. This is the government who basically are told by the Islamists, you better sort him out or we will. And the government do the jobs for them. And I don't know how much this has all cost Tommy Robinson. It's going to jail, what, 2 or 3 times? Trumped up charges. Not only him, Paul Golden, Jada Franson of Britain First, lost their homes, cost them hundreds of thousands of pounds, ruined them for what? Criticising Islam, standing outside the mosque, protesting with a big cross, confronting these Islamists. And yet, there's plenty of video evidence on YouTube where thousands of protesting Muslims in the UK and even Australia, march through our streets with big banners saying, cut off the heads of them who insult the Prophet. And them who insult Islam will be killed. But no. Do they get arrested? No. Police interest? No. Do they get condemned by the media? No. But as soon as you criticise Islam, you get arrested. Put in prison. And what's the prisons full of in the UK? Muslims. They're the biggest gang. So you're in danger straight away. Government know this, but they don't care. There was a case just 2-3 years ago where a man, I think he put bacon or a pork chop or something on a mosque, and he got a year in jail for that. A year in jail. And he was killed. He was killed within the first month in jail. That's what happened to him. Was he killed by Muslims? Who knows? But he was murdered in jail. Do the government care? No, they don't give a shit, do they? Honestly, it's a big problem, isn't it? It's a real big problem. This stuff that's happening in India now, with the Muslims flooding over the border into India from Bangladesh. I'm not sure of the full story of that, but it's causing problems, and the Indians, there's a lot of Indians in India, obviously. 1.3 billion people. But there's 200 million Muslims in India. 200 million Muslims. And that is a minority. 200 million. But I think the Hindus have had enough. The Hindus, the Sikhs, the Christians in India. They've just had enough. They're sick of it. They're sick of these people just flooding in and causing trouble like they cause trouble everywhere. And it's just a fact. But that's not Islamophobic. It's just a fact. But facts now are Islamophobic. Facts now are... facts now are lies, aren't they? By the media. Speak facts and they want to shut you down. Tell the truth, they want to shut you down. They want lies. They want the people to be fed lies. And the lies they get fed, they want to feed the people with lies. And the government tells the media what to print. These globalists have so much power. And who are the globalists? Let's go through a few names. George Soros, the Clintons, Obama, Angela Merkel, Macron, Trudeau of Canada, Tony Blair, Cameron, May, nearly all the Labour Party in the UK, every single Democrat in the United States. And what do they believe in? Mass migration. Why would they believe in that, to destroy their own nations? Can they not see the long game of what it would do to the nation? I believe they do, because these people aren't stupid. But power is more important. Power is more important than the nation. They just want to keep power. And they want to flood their own nations with mass migration. To keep power. Change the demographics. Change the voting patterns. And keep power by all means. It doesn't matter what happens. People pay higher taxes to pay for migrants on the dole. They don't give a shit. They don't give a toss. As long as they keep power. The more migrants they bring in, the more guaranteed power they have. Because migrants will always vote for them governments that give them things for free. And the people who have to work and pay taxes, it gets harder and harder and harder. And when they come to retire, there's no money left in the pot. Because these migrants will be getting, well, they're chewing all the money up. And plus they get more. than the indigenous people who pay taxes. They get more. And plus, they've got race cards to pull, haven't they? White Europeans that live in the United States and Canada, Australia and Britain, when they're unemployed, no one gives a shit. They can't shout from the rooftops. They haven't got a card to play. But when you've got migrants come in from Africa and the Middle East, they've got cards to play. Race cards. Islamophobic cards. You're only picking on me because I'm black or I'm brown or I'm Muslim card. And people are terrified of that. And they've got the media on side. They've got politicians on side. All the time. This is one of the problems. Only one of the problems of the world. But anyway, 36 minutes I've been on here. Hopefully you've heard this okay, this podcast. But this is Cross the Rubicon channel. And I urge you to please send this video to your friends. And do your research about what's really happening in the world. Remember, YouTube is clamping down on all right-wingers, and they're shutting us all down. So you gotta find your research somehow. Find the truth somehow. I'll tell you what, you're not going to get it from the BBC or Sky News or Channel 4 or CNN or MSNBC. And you're not going to get it from politicians, especially left-leaning politicians. Even right-leaning politicians, even they lie, they all lie. There's not many of them tell the truth. But one thing's for sure, if any politician has ever said on record that Islam is a religion of peace, then he should never, ever, ever, he or she should never be trusted, ever. Okay, this is Cross the Rubicon. Share and share and share this podcast to everybody you know. Because we've got to get the message out there. And please subscribe to this podcast. See you later. Happy Christmas and have a great new year next year. And if you're married with children, tell your wife and kids you love them to bits. See you later.